Live from NPR News, I'm Dale Willman. The Justice Department has closed its investigation into the fatal shooting of 12-year-old Tamir Rice by a Cleveland police officer in 2014. As NPR's Ryan Lucas reports, the department says it will not bring federal charges against the officers involved.
After a lengthy investigation, career prosecutors concluded there was insufficient evidence to support charges against two Cleveland police officers in the killing of Tamir Rice. The 12-year-old Rice, who was African-American, was playing with a toy pistol at a Cleveland recreation center when he was shot and killed by Officer Timothy Lohman. The department says video evidence of the shooting is grainy and poor quality and does not provide a clear and definitive record of what happened, including whether Rice reached for his toy gun. The department also declined to bring obstruction of justice charges against the two police officers. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
Police in Louisville, meanwhile, are apparently planning to fire two officers connected to Breonna Taylor's death. Taylor was fatally shot when police raided her apartment earlier this year. Her death sparked months of protests in Louisville as part of the Black Lives Matter protests over the summer. Both the officer who sought the no-knock search warrant and the officer who fired the shot that killed her are expected to lose their jobs. U.S. Air Force and Army medical personnel are deploying to a handful of California hospitals to help with the latest surge of COVID-19 patients. From member station KQED, Alex Hall reports.
Roughly 75 doctors, nurses, respiratory therapists, and other staff are being deployed to four hospitals in the state. They'll go to regions that currently have 0% ICU bed availability. Brooke McCullough, operations executive for Lodi Memorial Hospital and Dameron Hospital in Stockton, says those facilities are not short on space.
Because we have beds, but we don't have staff for those beds, this additional staff will allow us to accept patients in some of those beds.
Once military personnel finish onboarding, the hospitals will be able to take in patients transferred from other locations. For NPR News, I'm Alex Hall in Fresno.
Democrats in the Senate tried to force a vote on Tuesday on whether to send $2,000 relief payments to most Americans. Democrat Senator leader Chuck Schumer says the idea has broad bipartisan support. But some Republicans are suddenly expressing concern over increasing the nation's deficit.
It's certainly true. Republicans' concern over the deficit is selective. They tend to turn a blind eye when it's a Republican in the White House cutting taxes and get a lot more tight-fisted when Democrats are in charge. Even fiscal hawks say the middle of a pandemic is not the time to worry about the deficit. The time to do that is when the economy is humming again and we're back near full employment.
That's NPR's Scott Horsley reporting. Stocks gained early on Wall Street on Tuesday. That's before finishing with losses. The S&P 500 finished the day down 0.2% to close at 37.27. The NASDAQ composite was down by 49 points. You're listening to NPR News. Investigators in Nashville are still trying to determine a motive for the Christmas Day suicide bombing there. So far, they're not calling it an act of terrorism. And as NPR's Hannah Alam reports, that's stirring some debates.
Authorities say 63-year-old Anthony Warner blew himself up in a parked RV in downtown Nashville. The blast wounded three people and leveled a city block. It sounds like a clear-cut domestic terrorism case. But is it? Some analysts say there are still too many unanswered questions. Authorities require an ideological component to violence to label it terrorism. And there's no public manifesto or other solid information yet on Warner's possible motives or beliefs. Others argue that regardless of motive, a public suicide bombing is a clear act of terrorism. They say there's no such hand-wringing when it comes to describing Muslim suspects. And still another argument is that the terrorism label is now so loaded and subjective that it should be dropped altogether. Hannah Alam, NPR News.
President Trump's campaign has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to take a lawsuit that challenges the election results in Wisconsin. Wisconsin was a swing state in the November elections. President-elect Joe Biden won Wisconsin by about 21,000 votes. The state Supreme Court has already rejected that challenge. Election experts say there is no evidence of widespread fraud in any state. New York City is dealing with its most deadly year in almost a decade. As 2020 comes to a close, the city has recorded almost 450 killings. That's an increase of 40% over last year, and it's the largest number of killings in the city since 2011. The city's crime spike is similar to spikes in other major cities. I'm Dale Willman, NPR News.